Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. 2 days away from the Bears and Lions at Soldier Field. Well, Dowell Loggins, remember that Tariq Cohen actually is on the active roster. And is this a bad loss for the Bears? Could that signal the end of the John Fox era in the Windy City? The Bulls' quest for most ping pong balls continues with the Hornets in town tonight. Vincent Goodwill joins us with the latest, and he'll tell us if Nico and Bobby have talked yet. His answer most definitely will be no. True. And welcome into Sports Talk Live, brought to you by our friends at the Chevy Silverado. Hope you're ready for a great weekend. You finished a great week. I'm David Kaplan. Panel today on our show, he's Chris Emma from The Score, Sports Radio 670. He's Seth Gruen. He's frequently battling with me here on the show. Get him at the Bleacher Report and other spots. Matt Zahn from CBS2. Welcome to our show, buddy. All right, let's get started with some football conversation as the Bears and the Lions will lock horns on Sunday on the lakefront at noon. Bears coming off a really bad loss to Green Bay. If the Bears lose and lose badly, Chris Emma, should that be the end of John Fox in town?
You know, I think we're seeing the beginning of the end. That was Sunday at Soldier Field, a big opportunity to climb into contention, stacking some wins this season, and they blew it. They completely blew it. So, yes, one game after another seems to be the end of John Fox. Another loss here would bring them to 3-7 on the season, further from contention. It's just the beginning for John Fox now of the end. He won't be fired midseason. He'll be fired at the end of the season.
That's what I don't understand.
Look, I said this at the beginning of the season. You cannot judge this team's progress, especially Mitchell Trubisky's, based on the standings. And in that context, I can't say that John Fox should be fired. The question becomes, do you think he's the guy to develop all the young talent you're trying to be in place? Correct, and I agree. And on that basis, he should be fired. But not whether or not they win or lose.
I thought we decided when they lost to the Packers, that was it. Wasn't it over then?
Seemed like it. Right.
I mean, that's a game. Everything was in their favor.
Coming off the bye, the whole deal.
Everything was in their favor. And they just came out and played a terrible football game.
So I'm with Seth that it doesn't matter wins or losses. Look, if you told me he won every game the rest of the way, I still don't think he's the guy to develop Mitchell Trubisky.
That is exactly the point. Not just Mitchell Trubisky, but Tariq Cohen and even Jordan Howard and the litany of other young talent you want to bring in via the draft this year. That's really what it boils down to in the Bears' spot.
Does it feel like John Fox is invested and wants to be here long-term, even himself? Sometimes I get the vibe, just being up there, that
I feel like he's a beaten man.
Yeah, that he's not definitely. You all can tell. On going the whole career with Mitch Trubisky, and isn't that somebody you want?
But as a head coach, you only get so many of these retread opportunities. So he could be looking at this and saying, hey, maybe this is my last shot. And look, I really want to make it work.
You say they won't fire him midseason, and I would like to know why. Give me a legitimate reason why you don't pull the plug on the guy. I'm not saying it has to be Monday. I'm not saying it has to be the day after Thanksgiving. But at some point before the end of the season.
I'm not saying I won't do it. I'm just saying the McCaskey family won't do it because they haven't done it. That's just how they operate. But you have to consider this, too. If you do fire John Fox, you're probably promoting Vic Fangio to head coach. Now, you have to consider...
On an interim basis.
Yes, on an interim basis. But you consider it this way. It's a tryout basis for Fangio, who's never had a head coaching opportunity. You're also given the chance to develop and fight for a guy very well respected at Hallis Hall and Vic Fangio. Add a little bit of extra juice for that defense. Now, you hope that the offense can maintain with Mitchell Trubisky, developing some of those young pieces. You have to wonder if everything's going to be cohesive enough where you will be competitive if you get rid of John Fox. I think yes, because Fangio's the right guy to do it. I just don't see the McCaskey family making that move.
Yeah, that's the only reason you would fire John Fox midseason. Otherwise, it doesn't
matter. What?
If you consider Vic Fangio a candidate for your head coach.
I don't.
Then there's no point.
Yes, there is.
What's the advantage?
Because right now it looks like it'll probably be 7 to 8 to 9 jobs open.
Mm-hmm.
The average year, 7.2 jobs change hands.
Okay.
I want to jump the market. Because
how are you jumping the market? What, are you going to back channel?
100%. You tell me that doesn't go on.
It goes on even when there's a head coach in place. You don't need to fire him to back channel.
But that's low class. I don't think you handle things that way. I talked to Mark Potash today.
Back channeling is back channeling.
I was talking to Mark Potash today, and he said, you know how many times the Bears have wanted certain assistants, but because they wait so long in the process, we'll fire him on Black Monday, then we'll get a search firm, and then we'll do –
You got to be pro-frickin' active once in your life that's the guy I got to have, and I'm going out, damn it, I'm getting
that. That has to do with initiating back-channeling. It doesn't matter. Is it low class if Vic Fangio's in place on an interim basis and then you start back-channeling? I mean, we had this conversation.
No, that's, I think, the right way to handle it.
Lovie Smith. It does not matter. If you want to back-channel and find your next head coach, doesn't matter whether John Fox is here or Vic Fangio is here or you're standing on the sidelines.
Yeah, I disagree.
Well, even if they went to Fangio, I think they're still looking at other options because you don't even know what you really have in him. And you're going to be looking no matter what. I think you're going to cover all your bases. And I don't know if – I feel like they're going to do your route. They're going to be back, John. They're going to be doing that stuff. And they should be if they're not. Whether or not they fire Fox, whether or not Fangio's in there –
yeah,
you've
I just
be
don't think
about
it's.
Your options for
I
next
just
year.
Personally don't believe it's first class that if he shows up every day at 6 a.m., he busts his ass to coach the team. He may not be very good, but at the same time, Ryan Pace is in wherever,
Florida, Texas, California, talking to guys about a guy. But I think if you're an NFL coach, you understand that's kind of the way it is in the business.
Yeah, I just don't think it's first
and
class.
And I also think if you're a head coaching candidate, I think you honestly wait till after Black Monday and assess every job that's out there. We've seen Josh McDaniels turn down jobs. We've seen guys turn down jobs because they weren't that appealing.
Well, in the NFL, let's keep this in mind, too. In the NFL, you can't be back-channeling with a guy who's employed somewhere. That's tampering. That's something
you can
that's
talk
illegal.
To agents.
Exactly. You can get a head count.
It's semantics.
Might be there for you, of course. Yeah. There's ways to do it. There's a way to be professional with it and do it with a little bit of class as well. But the Bears have to be prepared for this. And in their mind, it might be in Ryan Pace's mind right now and George McCaskey's mind that John Fox is done at the end of the year. They didn't fire Mark Trestman at the end of a debacle of a 2014 season when they should have earlier because it was going so bad. You were destroying the product, destroying the culture. If it goes that bad for John Fox, you might see them make that move. Give Fangio a tryout basis for a few weeks, see what you can accomplish. But as of right now, I think John Fox is going to coach the rest of the season and be gone at the end of the season.
Let me ask you this, Kat. If Ryan Pace back-channeled with John Fox still in place and went out and found the next coach that ultimately wins a Super Bowl here in Chicago, are you going to sit there and say, you know what, I don't like it. I'm just not behind this Super Bowl because – He did it in a low-class way?
We'll never know. But if it came out that Ryan Pace was out meeting with coaches and secret dinners and all of that, yeah, I would say that's low class. That's not how
you
handle things.
He's not going to be meeting with coaches. He's going to be talking to agents. And great general managers in any sport constantly are talking to agents. They constantly keep files on players.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if you've made a decision on John Fox, and if he hasn't, you cannot tell me that the final seven games that you're going, well, let me see how Fox does against Detroit. I'm with you. Whether they win or lose, it doesn't matter. He's already made his mind up. In my mind, he already knows when he goes to bed, I got to find a coach.
Well, that may be, but he still needs one to finish out this season.
You can make Vic Fangio the head coach.
I don't see the distinction.
Yeah, I disagree. I think there's a certain way to handle things. You know, say, John, thanks for coming. Here's your money. We will be moving on. We got an interim, and we're going to launch our search. Then you can free and clear. You're not spotted in airports. Oh, I wonder what Ryan Pace was doing. There's no football game there.
Could be scouting if he's in an airport. I mean,
there's just ways of doing things with class, and there's ways of doing things in a scummy way. And I just don't think that that's the way you proceed. I'm not saying they will or they won't. They'll probably keep the guy the entire season, and they'll be the same old Bears the way they do their job. But we'll find out. That's probably.
I agree with that. I don't think they are proactive. I agree with you there.
No, I don't think they're going to fire him either, barring, like you said, just a complete debacle the next few games.
Tariq Cohen, over, under 4.5 touches.
You would think over.
You would hope over.
You would hope over. But, you know, based on what we've seen the last few games, and these constant double teams that he can't avoid, and plus the fact, well, how many snaps was he in on the
13.
Field? 13 snaps.
That's what I don't understand. If he's getting double teamed,
put him on the field.
Every play, because it opens something up for someone else. showed you the two touches he got last week.
Right, we were talking about this the other day. That's like in the NBA, if LeBron James gets double teamed every time, do you take him out of the game?
Exactly.
No.
It's a joke.
It's pretty easy to get a running back the ball. You know?
Right.
I mean, that's what I don't understand about this. He's a Darren Sproles type. It's not like we're talking about a receiver on the outside who, in fact, is getting double teamed for real. I'm going to go over.
It'll be over. I mean, they realize what they got to do with him to get him involved in this game plan and to ignite an offense lacking playmakers. I mean, it's Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen. Maybe Dontrell Inman can be something more for this group. They like what they've seen through one game so far. This is an offense completely lacking playmakers and had one out there for 13 plays in the game last week in a must-win game, an important game. It makes no sense to me. This after 4 weeks after Dal Loggins said, he's our best playmaker. We got to get him out there more. They basically shut him down after that. So I think you're going to see more of that. I think they're going to try to make an emphasis in the game plan this week. John Fox tried to explain things a few days ago. He tried to do it again today. It wasn't really making much sense to me or anybody else at Halas Hall, but my takeaway was that he's going to be more involved.
Ian Biggs getting into it at all today?
No Biggsy, but that was interesting
that
yesterday.
That was classic. All right, Bulls have struggled early and often this season, as the plan suggested. Will those first half struggles continue tonight at home against the Hornets? NBCSportsChicago.com's Vincent Goodwill will join us next to talk all things Bulls.
Sports Talk with Sizzle. Crank up the heat and turn on STL on NBC Sports Chicago. Host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table in a half hour on the topics that are trending with our teams.
We got the most mismanaged basketball team in the history of the world.
Which franchise made the gutsiest draft day move?
I think Pac wanted to do this, and he finally got his way.
Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
Bulls and Hornets tonight at the United Center. Check out Stat of the Day, driven by Chevy Silverado. Bulls games are over early this season, and it's not because there are fewer stoppages. First quarter games this season, the Bulls are dead last in the league. Points per game and field goal percentage. In fact, during the second quarter, doesn't make things any better. They're last in first half scoring, last in first half field goal percentage. Vincent Goodwill, the pride and joy of the Motor City, has the privilege of watching this Bulls team on a daily basis. He joins us on Sports Talk Live. You're so blessed. You get to wake up every day and know you're going to see a team that won't win 20 ball games this year. But Vincent, I ask you, are things going, aside from the fight, according to the plan that John Paxson spelled out? Because he picked a lane and they are embracing it.
You're saying the Bulls have a plan?
Yes.
Oh, okay, no, I'm just playing. Yeah, they do have a plan. And clearly, if you're, you know, bagging for Bagley or whatever the case may be, whatever hashtag we're going to come up with over the next 4 or 5 months for some of those college kids who played here in the United Center early this week and were very impressive, those are the type of players you want to go after. This is the way that the Bulls envisioned it. Now, clearly, marketing has been a lot better than they expected to be. If Zach LaVine comes back and he's healthy and he looks like a guy who didn't suffer an ACL injury a year ago, I don't think anything else really matters. I think everything goes down to the lottery in May in Chicago, so hopefully a little bit of luck could happen there. And if they get one of those top three picks, I think everything they're going through this season in their minds will be worth it.
When you look at what Philadelphia did, and I mean they were awful for a long, long time, but Sam Hinkie put this whole process thing together, and now he's not even there. But now they look like they have a team that will have a lot of success down the road. Do you think that was worth it to go several years where you're absolutely god-awful?
Nope. No way. I don't care. Because guess what? Joel Embiid, as great of a player as he is, and he is absolutely phenomenal, guess what? He's a big man with foot problems. That thing can blow up on him at any time. Ben Simmons, I think, is real and it's sustainable. But to go through 5 years of sustained losing, you don't have a culture at that point. Everybody talks about culture. Everybody talks about wanting to have it and to implement it. But you don't find out anything about your players. Think about the draft picks they've squandered from Michael Carter-Williams to Jahlil Okafor to even the guy Markelle Fultz who they traded up to get. And they wound, and he's not even playing right now. So, yeah, you can say all the stuff about getting lucky and getting Embiid and Simmons, but you lose so much of your fabric and your culture. There's better ways to do it. And he was so shameful in the way that he did it that the league had to step in and ask 75-year-old Jerry Colangelo to come clean up his mess and restore, the sheen from the 76er franchise. I don't think the Bulls want to go through that.
Vincent, every day it's like there's an update. Fred goes, nope, they haven't spoken. Where do you sit on how this thing gets fixed, or is it just we won't see Nico till he's eligible to be traded?
Look, I've never been hit in the face to the point of getting my face broken and suffering a concussion. So I can't speak for Nico. And I can't speak for Bobby either, being antagonized in that situation. So when you're talking about pride and you're talking about guys having 3 years to deal with each other and everything that's happened in between this before leading up till now, I don't see how this necessarily gets resolved. I have heard there's been small progress about Nico trying to join into more slight team activities and everything else, but I don't know if that's necessarily a precursor for him getting back to practicing and putting himself back on the floor. Because you have to forget, you have to remember something else too, Cap. This was supposed to be Nico's year to get all those stats. And some guy named Lauri Markkanen came in and ran his spot. And it's going to be given every single opportunity to play 30-plus minutes a night. So if you're Nico and you're not even going to get the minutes and the opportunities that you expected so you can go out and get a deal next year, what's the point of you going through all the stress that clearly he's enduring just to basically not get anything out of it?
Yeah, well said. I can't believe he ever plays a game in a Bulls uniform again. That's my last question to you. Do you believe he ever puts the Bulls uniform on again?
I mean, maybe in his house.
That was good. Vincent, have a good weekend, man.
Go Bears.
Oh, you're a Lions guy. Don't even try it. We'll see you.
I'm Lions free.
We'll see you. There he is, Vincent Goodwill, over at the United Center. All right, I'm going to ask you guys. Do you believe he ever puts the Bulls uniform on again and plays in a game?
No. Yeah, absolutely not.
No way. I can't.
It's good it's gone. Yeah. I mean, that's it. You can't go through what he did and come back from that. It'd be part of this team moving forward. They're finding the new pieces. Markkanen, as Vinny said, is already in his spot. Nico's gone. He's on his way out.
If he was going to be part of the team, wouldn't he be part of the team at practice, not hiding in the background, not even coming
so Bobby
here?
Portis
He's been like that from the start.
Okay, I mean, so Tom Cooper, our producer, and I have argued about this. Bobby Portis has reached out, text, voicemails. He's called him, and Nico won't take the call. And Coop's point is you should have John Paxson, Gar Foreman, Jerry Reinsdorf, Michael Reinsdorf, Fred Hoiberg, somebody says, all right, you two guys, we're going in the office. We're talking this out as men. My take is, like Vincent said, I never had my face caved in with a concussion, broken bones. He may say, I don't care what you guys say. I am never speaking to that guy again.
Yeah, it's pretty vicious. I mean, I think you can make arguments both ways, quite honestly. You know, again, the imagery of this is just so horrific that you almost have to side with Nico. But
the teammates aren't.
Right. And I think that's predicated on the fact that this is a guy who was gifted a starting spot at one point, has not always looked good defensively, has looked like he lacked effort. And I don't necessarily want to defend Bobby Portis, who went Chuck Liddell on him. But Nico hasn't always been the greatest teammate. He's always ducked the media since he was a rookie. I've covered that team enough to know. So, you know, there are probably issues from a chemistry standpoint with having Nico as a teammate.
I'm with not understanding how they can't get him to talk, no matter what happened. I mean, you heard Fred Hoiberg talk the other day. It made it sound like he had no way of even trying to get them to talk. He made it sound like, well, it's out of my control. I feel like somebody is in control. Get them to talk. And if they can't be together, one of them has to go. And that sounds like that's going to be Nico.
Yeah, I'm with that. Look, if he doesn't want to talk, right, he can't
play on the team anymore.
Are there really that few adults in the room there where they can't get right. these guys together? Somebody, I mean, Hoiberg's the player's coach. Get it to work. Get these two guys to sit down together. Paxson's had no problem setting up his little meetings and getting in somebody's face. Get in their face and say, talk. Get this figured out.
All right, yes or no. Celtics win the East twice. Wow. They were 17 down to Golden State last night. Cut it to 5, back to 17, cut it to 5, and then they end up winning the ballgame. Yes or no, they win the East. I picked them to win the East before the season. Then they lose Hayward. I never thought they'd be this good.
I'll say no. I think the Cavs, if Isaiah Thomas is healthy, get it together enough. It's close. I mean, they're pretty much the only two teams that can win the Celtics and Cavs, so 50-50 shot, I think.
LeBron James is the best player on the planet still, for my money, and this is a star-driven league. So I don't see anybody really dethroning the Cavs.
With Gordon Hayward, yes, but without Gordon Hayward, and he's out for the year, what is it, 7 straight years for LeBron in the NBA Finals? It's going to be 8. I mean, you can't beat LeBron James in a 7-game series.
I'm going to say no. No shot. I'm saying Boston still gets it.
He's still on that train.
On what basis, Cap?
What have they won, 14 in a row?
Cap's defense has been horrible this year, but
Boston
you figure
guards.
That's fine, but does the regular season really matter? I mean, we've seen the – well, I guess Derrick Rose was hurt, but we've seen teams – win the East, win the West, and it just doesn't matter. I mean, Greg Popovich does not care about the regular season. He cares about getting to such a place that gives them the best chance in
to win
the playoffs.
All right. Is this the week Wisconsin's perfect season comes to an end? Badgers host Michigan Saturday. Will the Wolverines, as 7.5-point underdogs, end Wisconsin and the Big Ten's playoff hopes?
When the game ends, switch back to CSN Chicago for Bears postgame live. The team will take you through all the key moments from the field, hear from Coach Fox, and get live player reactions. Bears postgame live after every Bears game on CSN Chicago.
Well, college football's best game this weekend on a week slate will be Michigan playing at Wisconsin. Wisconsin, a 7.5-point favorite. Look, that's a pretty decent Michigan team. Offense is just questionable. If Wisconsin wins, are they a lock to get in the field if they win out?
Oh, yeah, unquestionably. I think that's the message that the committee sent us, is that if Wisconsin runs the table, especially when you know that Clemson and Miami are going to play for an ACC championship, an undefeated Big
but
Ten
championship. Is the goal of the committee to get the four best teams or the four most deserving
it's,
teams?
It's most deserving. It's not the best teams, because on paper, Michigan has top 10 talent, but they've already lost too many games. It's about the resume you've built.
Right, and Ohio State on their best day may be better than anybody, but right. They've had too many worse days to deserve to be in. So if Wisconsin wins out, the way the other teams are set up right now, they're going to beat each other up. They're in.
They want the best four teams. They've done a good job with it the last few years. I'm not sold on Wisconsin yet, but if they go in there and beat up Ohio State, that compares to, say, Alabama or so beating Georgia, something like that. The scenarios play out as they are right now. Wisconsin should be in. But if Wisconsin gets tripped up in that Big Ten title game as a one-loss team, you still got to favor Georgia or Alabama, whoever loses in that game.
Yeah, I agree. If Wisconsin loses, they have virtually no chance.
You have to look at the possibility of Ohio State going in that scenario, because, again, you have three SEC teams ahead of Ohio State right now. Two of them are going to lose because Alabama plays Auburn in the Iron Bowl. Then Georgia probably meets the winner of that game in the SEC championship.
Okay, what if Georgia beats Alabama?
That's
title
it's really tricky, because then Georgia and Bama are
and
both
I don't
in.
Mean they beat them 80 to and nothing.
Undefeated.
They beat them 24-21. They're both
when you
getting
maybe,
in.
That's when you maybe make an argument. Then. But the committee has said that they are going to put a premium on winning a conference championship.
But they're not going to keep Bama out, I don't think.
You're right.
As long as they don't get blown out in that game.
Bottom line is, it's a TV show. They want ratings, and Alabama drives ratings. Yeah.
So you have Alabama, you'd have Georgia.
And speaking of
Miami
the TV
or
show,
Clemson, one of them would be in.
That's why we think Ohio State could get
in, because
they're
maybe
Oklahoma.
I'll say this, though. Under those circumstances, it would hurt the integrity of their criteria.
It would. Thanks for being here.
Yeah.
Won't be a stranger. All right, that's a wrap for Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Remember, subscribe to the Sports Talk Live podcast. You can get it all at NBCSportsChicago.com/podcast. Stream Sports Talk Live, NBCSportsChicago.com/watch live. Bulls pregame live with Ski and the guys is next. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you on Monday. Hey, thanks for listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Remember to watch the show weekdays on CSN and visit CSNChicago.com for previous episodes of the podcast and all of the latest sports news and highlights.